How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. Is the only problem with progressive education the subject matter? We're often worried about what our kids are being taught. But maybe we ought to be equally concerned with how they are being taught as well. The method by which they are being educated, or in some cases, not educated. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday, January the 11th, we're going to take up the subject of classical Lutheran education. Joining us to do so, Pastor Rob Paul. He's associate pastor and headmaster at Memorial Lutheran Church and School in Houston, Texas. He'll be making a presentation titled, What is Lutheran About Classical Education? This Sunday afternoon at 1 at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Pastor Paul, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd.
Why would a Lutheran pastor like you want to be the headmaster of a classical Lutheran school?
Well, it all started on vicarage. I was sent to Trinity Lutheran Church in Casper, Wyoming, and my wife got her first teaching call at Mount Hope on the other side of town, and they had a classical Lutheran school. I spent every day taking Latin at lunchtime with the 7th and 8th graders. I took time to help her grade and teach in her classroom. I went to chapel that they had every day, and I learned a lot from Pastor John Hill, who was the headmaster there and pastor at the time. Before then, I wouldn't probably have given a thought to classical or Lutheran education, apart from that I like Latin and history and music. But it was there, that year at Mount Hope and at Trinity, that really convinced me and my wife, too, that it'd sort of be a family thing, that we would devote our time, and when we had children, devote the training of our children to classical Lutheran education. So when I got back to the seminary, that's what I asked to do. If there would be a church and school that needed a headmaster, I'd be happy to do that. And that's what happened.
So how would you compare and contrast classical education with progressive education?
Well, I think I'm going to steal from Martin Cothran, He writes for Memoria Press. And he says that classical education is how to think and what to do, not what to think and how to do. And so the education that's employed in many of our Lutheran schools, and certainly in government schools, that falls under this progressive sort of banner, deals with the latter kind. They teach what to think and they teach you how to do, instead of teaching our students grammar, logic, and rhetoric for the purpose of how they should be thinking about all the different subjects they'll learn and about all the different experiences they will have in their lives as they grow and move around and grow up and move to from one place to another.
How old is the classical model of education?
It depends on what you mean by that. For Lutherans, we trace it back to Luther and Melanchthon. But what it means to teach classically can certainly be traced back to antiquity with the way the Greeks and the Romans taught. But if you only look at Greek and Roman teaching at Plato and at Aristotle and at Cicero, and it's just going to be pagan. You won't have any. It's the old question of what does Athens have to do with Jerusalem? So you need Augustine to synthesize these things in non-Christian teaching. And you need the Middle Ages to advance this a little further and then get too far with the scholastic movement, and then Luther and Melanchthon to correct what we get through Walther in our Lutheran heritage. But you'll see classical things outside Lutheran circles because that heritage was common to Renaissance humanism, regardless of the country you lived in.
In other words, what we call classical education today was just called education when
it
was first being practiced.
You didn't need a qualifier. It was education. And now, because there are people who say there are other kinds of education, we have to call it classical.
What role does Christian catechesis play in classical Lutheran education?
Well, in order to have a real Lutheran education, one has to have catechesis. And Lutheran catechesis is based in a sort of a classical framework. I mean, we start with basic grammatical information about what God tells us to do in the Ten Commandments, who he is in the Creed. So if you look at the Small Catechism is an excellent classical document where you begin with basic recitation and you move from basic definitions into explanations of definition with what does this mean. So what gets passed around in classical circles are these stages, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, used not as arts, but as stages of learning. And if we want to use that here, that happens in catechesis. You start by learning the basics of the faith, then articulating it in such a way that you can ask questions about it and defend it, and then learn it well enough so you can confess it to your neighbor and live it out in your life of vocation. So catechesis is a natural part of classical Lutheran education. I don't know hardly any of our classical Lutheran schools that don't have very robust catechetical programs where they recite every day, either in chapel or in the classroom, and have religion class, so to speak, theology class or catechesis, either every day or multiple times a week for large chunks.
We're talking about classical Lutheran education with Pastor Rob Paul, associate pastor and headmaster at Memorial Lutheran Church and School in Houston, Texas. He'll be making a presentation titled "What is Lutheran?" about classical Lutheran education this Sunday afternoon at 1 at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about why we teach Latin to kids. Is it a dead language that's useless, or does it actually have a rather profound effect on the way we think and how we think? Then we're going to spend some time with Suzanne Vinker responding to a recent report from the American Psychological Association about the dangers of masculinity. Stay tuned.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Solway class, today your writing prompt is, what is Lutheran about classical education?
Hey, what does this mean?
I think it's that Aristotle was a Lutheran.
I thought it was that Lutheran classical was a palindrome.
What's a palindrome?
It's like a Persian castle with a retractable roof.
Life is confusing enough without crowdsourcing your questions. Get straight answers at an open house on Lutheran classical education at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, on January 13 at 1 o'clock p.m. Pastor Robert Paul of Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas, will speak on the question, "What is Lutheran about classical education?"
Wait, it was Virgil who was a Lutheran.
Come on out to St. Paul Lutheran in Hamel, Illinois on January 13 at 1 o'clock p.m. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, January the 11th, we're talking about classical Lutheran education. Pastor Rob Paul is our guest, associate pastor and headmaster at Memorial Lutheran Church and School in Houston, Texas. Pastor Paul, often classical education, and in particular classical Lutheran education, a lot of the subject matter has to do with the truths and the history of Western civilization. Why is it important to pass on the heritage of Western civilization in the classical education model?
Well, humanity doesn't exist in a vacuum. There's an awful lot of atomistic individualism that we have to fight in our families, in our churches, in society. But we are connected to our families, whether we want to be or not, to our churches, to our society, and to the history and heritage that we have as Western people. So Western civilization is our inheritance, whether we want it or not. And when we teach Western civilization, it isn't an indoctrination where we just accept everything whole cloth. The way we express concepts, the way we think about things is shaped by interacting and discerning all of the different authors that make up the Western canon, all of the different types of music that make up the Western canon and art, because Western civilization is it's all of the things of humanity that have been passed on from the Greek and Roman tradition through the Middle Ages, through the Renaissance, and through the intervening centuries to now.
Looking at the curriculums of classical ed schools, I don't see them using things like Common Core math. Why is that?
There are a few answers. The first answer is inherently most classical Lutheran schools they're averse to using state standards. Because of the differences between progressive and classical thought, most things produced by the state exhibit progressive thought. And so you'll find that some won't have a really good reason. They'll just reject it out of hand because it's from the government and the government teaches progressively, so we don't use it. If you want to have a substantive argument about Common Core, they get the cart before the horse. And so they teach you how your tools work before you know what your tools are, instead of just teaching basic addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, and then worrying about the how later. That's really, from what I understand of Common Core, most of the schools use Saxon or Singapore math. So from what I understand of Common Core, there's really just they've gotten the methodology mixed up, and so you spend a whole lot of time learning, but we probably would just teach kids as mental math tricks after they already know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide.
Why spend time teaching children a dead language, you mentioned it before, like Latin?
Well, people say that about it being dead all the time. It's merely transformed because Latin permeates our language. It permeates the Romance languages. And so Latin is the language of Western civilization. If it's not the language that was used by the church and government and authors of times gone by, it underlies it. So by teaching Latin, we teach a different way of thinking. I often make this joke, what do you call people who speak three languages? Trilingual, two languages, bilingual, one language, Americans. And as Americans who generally only speak English, we don't know how to think in any other linguistic system besides English. We may know something about the roots of our words, but Latin gives you a way of thinking about language and thought that we don't have inherently by just speaking English. So one can make the linguistic argument. Latin certainly helps you prepare for SATs, but that's a bit more pragmatic. And it allows you to read things, because our goal in learning Latin is not just to learn about togas and the different rooms of the Latin house, but it's to be able to read the language so you can interact with the text of Cicero, of Caesar, and even the Vulgate, and understand where that Latin comes from, the Greek or the Hebrew, as you do Christian studies. So the possibilities of using Latin really are endless, but there is an awful lot of bias in thinking that Latin is useless because it's quote-unquote dead, when it's actually very useful and very invigorating for an education.
most schools have gone away from teaching phonics and grammar when it comes to teaching children language and reading. Why do classical education schools continue to promote phonics and grammar when many would say, look, whole word reading instruction is just as effective?
Well, of all places, APM, American Public Media, put out a research article within the last month or so showing that the science proves that that thought, that whole word works just fine, is actually wrong. Science, for once, is on the side of a traditional perspective. Teaching children to read through phonics is the best way to learn how to read, because reading is not natural. We make ourselves learn how to read. Talking comes naturally, but reading, taking words and putting them onto paper, in particular forms of letters and phonemes, that's something the brain must be taught to do. And the best way to do it is the bit-by-bit phonics method, over and over and over again, so children can learn how to actually read and understand what they are reading. I've used the Spalding method at schools. Others use traditional phonics methods. Either way, one gets to actually teach how to read and thus how to spell and how to write. But the whole word isn't supported by any good objective evidence. It's mostly just supported by experience.
Anyone who's been either required or has, for other reasons, learned a foreign language, especially if they've learned to read it, has realized immediately why phonics is essential to learning how to read. If you learn Hebrew, you got to sound out your words. If you learn Greek, you have to sound out your words. You have to do it even with an alphabet similar to ours, like Latin. You can't do it. You can't learn Greek or Hebrew just using a whole word reading method. It's impossible.
No, you can't. And that's not the way, it's really not the way language works anyway. But since we have to learn how to read it and make sense of the words and be able to make sense of new words, right? How can you really handle new words if you only memorize essentially word pictures?
What about music? Is it essential to classical Lutheran education?
Well, certainly. I mean, you have the Luther quote, which is usually next to God's word, but I think a clearer translation would be after God's word. Music deserves the highest praise. And since classical Lutheran schools exist first to teach the scriptures and the faith to our children and the children of the community, hand in hand with that is musical instruction. I mean, clearly the best musical instruction ends up being in matins or the divine service or morning prayer, the daily chapel that many of our schools have and our students sing. When parents are concerned about the kids going to chapel every single day, I think they think that they're going to have their children subjected to 30-minute sermons. But I tell them, really, less than a half hour we have chapel. Your children sing almost the entire time. The spoken portion is much shorter in comparison to the amount of time that we sing. But music not only is a worthy way to express the word of God and the catechism, singing the catechetical hymns and the hymns of our church. Right? So it's not only quintessentially Lutheran there, but it also taps into the best of Western civilization when we're dealing with music instruction in the classroom, teaching music, music theory, music appreciation, the singing of traditional folk songs, the appreciation of the traditional sort of Western canon of music. Because it is part and parcel to our Lutheran identity, it is also part and parcel to our human identity. And today, people don't really know music. They know the top 40, maybe, but all they know is noise. They don't really know the songs that many, many adults learned in their childhood. They don't know, I mean, lots of children outside of our tradition don't know our hymns, and some even within the tradition. So the place of music is a very big one in a classical Lutheran education.
I have noticed that many classical education schools use uniform dress codes. Shouldn't kids be able to express themselves a bit through their dress?
Yeah, I've heard that before, too. The short, pithy answer is no, they shouldn't be. But the real reason for uniforms is that it helps to teach one's vocation, the place that one has. I wear my collar every day as headmaster and pastor, not for the purpose of showing off my collar, but for the purpose of the uniform, showing that I am there to be their pastor and headmaster, and they know where to find me, and my dress identifies my work. Children's clothing takes all sorts of different shapes and forms. Uniforms permits students to recognize that they are getting dressed to come to school, to be students in relationship to their teachers and to their fellow students and to administrative staff, and to learn and to grow and to have a good time. That certainly is a part of it. But the uniform puts one in a frame of mind that play clothes really, they don't do the trick. Play clothes should be the clothes that children wear at home when they are not at school, so they can just play. But school is a very important place to learn discipline for the purpose of training for the vocations that they have as Christians.
Why do you think the classical education is a growing movement?
Partly dissatisfaction with public school. And I know many of us wish that there was more dissatisfaction with public school, but in places where the government schools are less effective, it's an easier choice. In the same way that private schools have been in a number of places, easy choices because they're quote-unquote better schools. I think that within our own Lutheran circles, many are realizing that a treasure was lost when classical education sort of disappeared in the mid-20th century. So there's a recovery of this treasure. I know that's what happened to my wife and I, and now to our children. I was not raised this way. I went to public school, government schools in New York, all the way till the end of high school. But now there's no other way of educating. I think very firmly that a classical Lutheran school is the best place to put your children, Lutheran or not, I think as a Lutheran, because they will get all of the important things they actually need. They get the Word of God and the best education they can have in order to serve whatever vocations they will have as they grow up. But it's also where you get the best of Western civilization that you may get piece by piece at a private school. And you may get at a government school also, but classical Lutheran schools exist first to take care of the soul, and that won't be taken care of positively at a government school or a non-Lutheran private school.
Before we let you go, what can you tell us about the presentation you're going to be making this Sunday afternoon at 1 at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois?
Well, it essentially has two parts. The first is what's the point? When there are lots of options for schooling, depending on where you live in the country, why would you choose a classical Lutheran school? So I'll be looking really sort of at the big point as to what some schools offer and other schools don't, and what really comes from a classical Lutheran education. And then after that, segue into what is specifically Lutheran about a classical Lutheran education. Why one would want to choose this instead of a classical Reformed school or a classical Roman Catholic school, because those exist, or a classical charter school. There are plenty of those too. So the presentation this Sunday will focus on what's the point of a classical Lutheran education, and then specifically, what is Lutheran?
You can meet Pastor Rob Paul and hear his teaching, What is Lutheran About Classical Education, this Sunday afternoon, January the 13th at 1, during an open house at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. For more information, visit school.stpaulhamel.org, school.stpaulhamel.org. What is Lutheran About Classical Education, Sunday afternoon at 1 at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel. Pastor Rob Paul is Associate Pastor and Headmaster at Memorial Lutheran Church and School in Houston, Texas. Rob, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Todd. It was a pleasure.
Suzanne Vinker will be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about a recent report from the American Psychological Association warning us about the dangers of masculinity. How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Paul Lutheran, Council Bluffs, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Ascension of Christ Lutheran, Beverly Hills, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, Louisville, Minnesota. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at the website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.